Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, as we're coming on the air today, I'm telling myself a little joke in my head. I'm kind of cracking myself up. Yeah,
you're the funniest guy you know.
I am. How you doing?
I'm good.
How you doing, little buddy?
Hey, I'm all right. Hey, a great quick weekend, Crudia. In and out, but a crazy day. Happy to be on the radio with you once again. Evan, of course, our fair audience. Happy, beautiful Monday.
Big Monday edition. The post-gubernatorial debate edition, Tom. I dedicated myself to watching the gubernators just line them up. It was Ram Jam. It was Rebecca Clayfish and Tim Michaels, this East Coaster that suddenly, you know, throwed his hat in the race.
There was a GOP debate over the weekend. What day was that exactly?
Don't worry. I did the homework for the class. Also,
I didn't hear any ads on Devil Radio, so I didn't know what was going on.
I did not verify independently, but, you know, because of the stupid sponsorship agreement they had, it was WTMJ Channel 4, and it was great communication. So I watched it on NBC in Madison, and it played out state, Eau Claire, different markets. But the radio sponsor was WTMJ 620 AM. And a week prior, when the very same relationship took place, they didn't play the U.S. Senatorial Democratic nominee debate.
Talk about 620 WTMJ, right? Okay. Well, and this time?
I have no idea, man. I don't listen to TMJ. I only listen to good radio stations. But anyway, so we didn't have the broadcast rights. The general elective debates, the head-to-head between the gubernatorial nominees and the senatorial nominees, we will broadcast those. I assure you, we already have permission. The WBA sanctioned events, we will broadcast.
Good news.
But, you know, if you didn't catch it live last night, you're going to have to take my word for it. Also, Tom Nelson dropped out of the senatorial race. And Tom Nelson, I know he was one of your favorites,
yes.
Right, Tom?
Yep.
I mean, it was a short list, but Tom was near the top.
Outagamie County boy, man. It was from my hometown. So, yeah, a lot of love for Tom. And that is a very important area up there. And he's speaking the language, man. And he's getting results in the Fox Valley.
Well, apparently not enough fundraising results. Effectively said his campaign was out of money. And he pulled the plug today. And he threw his endorsement, whatever that's worth to you.
7%, I think, in the last Marquette poll.
Well, he threw his endorsement behind Mandela Barnes. And said, you know, at least Mandela's not trying to buy a seat.
Yeah. Oh, damn, Tom, just hitting him on the way out.
Well, we'll hear from Tom Nelson. He's going to join us on the show today. We always like to do an exit interview. Yeah. Sometimes that's the most candid interview of the campaign.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's the best, right? The debriefing interviews. Yes, we look forward to Tom at today at 4:30, so just the bottom of the hour.
But, Dom, let me tell you about last night's goober debate, the GOP goobers. They lined them up, and they were goobers. And specifically, I mean, the two Tims. Here's what I saw represented. I saw a true believer, your buddy Ram Jam, Tim Rantham, the assembly rep. He is the guy that's still fighting for decertifying the election. I mean, that's pretty much his platform. And that guy's just out there, and he believes. You can tell he's earnest. I mean, crazy, absolutely insanely crazy. but he believes.
If you believe it, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Well, I don't think he's lying. Now, I would draw a different distinction. I think some on the stage last night were lying. And there was one guy that was definitely BSing, and that was Tim Michaels. Oh, was he out of his element?
I mean, come on. Businessman took over the dad's business, grew it, making hundreds of millions of dollars from, you know, social estate contracts alone. He's been on the peripherals. Hell, did he run for Senate a while back?
Dominic, he could have gotten himself the best debate prep money could buy, and he didn't.
Why am I here?
Not prepared for that debate. And the fact that, you know, what do we say on the radio? Can't say it on the radio, but we say it before we go on the radio. Don't effectively crap your pants. Don't
crap the bed.
Blank yourself.
There is a rule that we have at any time we're out doing anything. There is one very simple rule, and it's a family rule for us as well, not just on a show. I stress this to my kids and my wife, and, you know, we talk about it often. Don't crap the bed.
It's a low bar, but it's an important bar. Do not go below this bar. Oh, my God, man. Michaels was just teetering on the brink of a shirt, if you know what I'm saying. He was so close. He was at the precipice.
And there were so many times. What was he doing? In what regard?
Oh, he was not prepared for that debate. He didn't even know the political topics of the day. Early example during the debate. The moderator said, Charles Benson, I believe, pointed out $5.4 billion estimated budget surplus. And I'm thinking, thank you, Tony Evers. And anyways, Benson asked Tim Michaels a question. And Michael's like, oh, I hadn't heard that. That is good news.
Thank you, Governor Evers.
Basically something to that effect. And, so obviously he hadn't caught the headline. And this was a Friday headline that he had not yet caught on Sunday night, even going into a big debate weekend. There was another point, DACA, the Dreamers, right? The DACA, the deferred action people that are in this sort of young people brought here through no volition of their own. But they've been extended some sort of legal relief, right? Only Tim Michaels has no idea what DACA means. And they tried explaining it to him. And I got to tell you, Dom, he has no idea what DACA means. And at the end of the debate, I still don't think he knows. He doesn't know what he was not answering the question about. And I believe one of his advocacies is actually to be very stringent on, like, immigrant families. Like, stick it to them.
Right.
Stick it to the Dreamers. What's DACA, sir? Oh, I have no idea. Was that something about that surplus? Is DACA a surplus? Because I didn't know about that either. So anyways, and then when he would answer the questions, Tom, he would just teeter there. You know, you could just tell he was on the precipice of just being found out for how terrible he was. So and he was just watching the clock, and you could see the seconds ticking down. And like whenever it would hit zero, because they would have like a sound. He would not even try to finish the thought. He would just cease. Wouldn't finish the word. He'd be mid-word.
Wow, man, that is a skill Trump does not have. So he was obviously trying to protect, trying to make sure he didn't say too much, didn't crap the bed. But out of his element, certainly perhaps a different feeling you get from the man compared to the slickly produced and highly played campaign ads.
It struck me. You've seen the movie The Campaign. And Will Ferrell's there on the stage when Galifianakis, the character played by Galifianakis, who's, been this crazy, couldn't possibly win long shot candidate running against him. But suddenly starts catching a little bit of fire. And you can just see the look of utter panic in Will Ferrell's eyes. And there's even a slight resemblance, although he looks more like the other stepbrother, I'd say Michaels does. So anyways, I'm watching him and you can just see this look in his eye like, did anybody catch me? Because I don't know what I'm doing or saying up here. And at any moment, I'm going to be exposed as a fool.
Please.
As a fool.
Click, maybe an impressive resume. Down. Get that clock done. How about Rebecca Clayfish, the former lieutenant governor, of course, media personality? Was she smoother than other two?
Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part for me, because, you know, I like the family. I really do. I like the Clayfishes. And she came off as this moderate, suburbanite Republican, very well prepared, knew all her issues. And I'm thinking to myself, if only that mattered in a GOP primary. If only that mattered. If only they cared about governance. But they don't. But she's got platforms. She's got ideas. Now, I think they're bad ideas. So many of them. She's all down for the current 1849 in-place abortion law. No exceptions. Governor Clayfish would not sign any bill that made an exception to that.
Oh,
although
but
then she turns around.
But there's
and draws
a distinction, though, Crudy. There's a distinction. What is the distinction?
I didn't understand. Something about miscarriages. And I'm not claiming that I'm dumb. Just somehow she clearly drew a distinction that if you miscarried, that's not an abortion.
Here is her quote. Let me be very clear here. Miscarriage care and ectopic pregnancy treatment are not abortion.
Ectopic. Well, go tell the true believers.
Apparently,
that's
she
God's
just
plan
did.
That you die.
And isn't that one of those very distinctions that would, you know, be allowed for in some proposals from these Republicans? I mean, isn't that kind of the point?
I'm
if
not
you
sure
don't allow that, people will, women will die.
I don't know if Clayfish is trying to imply that that distinction already exists. But anyways, if someone won the debate, it was clearly Clayfish. Smartest girl in class. I mean, she schooled these two dumbasses. They were truly not up for it. They were yahoos. They were exposed. And I mean, it was the spectrum of the Republican Party, the personal... A perfect personification of what it is.
Right.
There was 33% Rantham. You know, the true beliefs were crazy. You got 33% BS and businessman who really failed upward, or at least by all appearances. And then you got this pretty dynamic, charismatic candidate who's still wrong on all the issues. You know what I mean?
I know. That's the GOP, man. That's the mega.
They cover the spectrum of wrong. They're wrong for each and every reason, Don. And I mean, I'm not saying Tony Evers is a million-dollar candidate, but compared to any of these three, he looks like, you know, $1 million. Come back, devil's advocates. You know, we're worth the cost of admission, even up to like $1 million.
Gone crazy.
Maybe sit the next couple plays out.
Show me how to lie. You're getting better all the time and turning all against one. Isn't art that's hard to teach?
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you miss any of this fine program, go online to darnwi.com. You can listen to and download podcasts and interviews.
Dom, the Wisconsin GOP goobs, at least the candidates thereof, they had a big debate last night. You know, I feel like we owe it to our audience to play a little bit, perhaps mock where appropriate.
I think entirely. I mean, everyone has to know at least a flavor of what they're in for if they stay home and these people win.
Let's hear from future Governor Tim Ramjam Rantham. Cut number 7, please. Decertifying the election, at least the ones the Republicans lost.
The Republican lawmaker who chairs the State Assembly Committee on Campaigns and Elections wants to decertify the 2020 presidential results.
There's your crowd. Do you hear the crowd?
Oh, they're very happy.
This is an idea that even Speaker Voss says is not allowed under the Constitution. Mr. Rantham, you have made decertifying the 2020 presidential election results your number one issue. What evidence do you have, either from former Justice Michael Gableman's million-dollar review or even on your own, to support a decertification?
I'm surprised I'm the only one. Because the effect of fraudulent elections is causing a lot of the problems we're talking about today. Wrong person, wrong role, wrong time. We've got to get this fixed so we can do it right. There's selections, not elections, if we don't get it right. The receipts coming in on the information that supports the fraud happened and the election was manipulated and the outcome was changed continue to come in every day. Special Counsel Gableman has done a very good job. His March 1st report came out. I had provided 71 slides and empirical data prior to that. It's all tied to fact and truth, and it's supported by seven constitutional attorneys and constitutional experts that say we can. Now, the people who say we can't...
Guys like John Eastman.
I'm a Republican, by the way, not a Republican.
Oh, see what he did there, Doug?
Oh, wow.
Them to get in. We had a chance to do this in the Rules Committee, and we didn't get it done. Can I get 30 more seconds on this?
Unfortunately, you cannot.
The new information has come to light, man.
But they turned around and they asked him another follow-up question. You can't have 30 more, but let me ask you a follow-up. List the fraud. Here we go. Cut number 8, please. Ram jam.
But I will follow up and ask you, the recount in Wisconsin added votes to Biden. So again, can you give us examples where you have seen fraud in this election?
30 seconds.
Mr. We just got 30 more seconds.
Where have we seen fraud?
Yes.
Well, let's start with the most recent action by the Supreme Court when they deemed that... When they deemed the drop boxes illegal, it wasn't just for that day on July 8th of 2022, it was back in November 3rd of 2020. So they've been illegal then, they were illegal then, they're illegal now, and they'll be illegal going forward. And there was hundreds of thousands of ballots that were stuffed into those boxes. Now think about this for a second. You got black and white, and now it's all gray. You don't know where the line is between legal and illegal.
But that's not factually true,
not,
them.
And not at all.
The Supreme Court ruled. So the moderator tried to kind of clean up the ram jam mess, if you know what I'm saying, and listen to the crowd. Cut number 9, please.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Just to set the record straight, the state Supreme Court ruled that the law does not allow drop boxes. They didn't suggest that people who voted that way voted illegally. So let's go to Mr. Michaels and former President Donald Trump.
They're still debating what's fact and what's fiction on that stage, Dom.
Wow, and certainly in the audience. That's a party going on.
One more from Ram Jam. They asked him the question about the quote, you know, that he apparently wants to punch Speaker Voss in the nose.
Oh, yes, yes. But listen, right on right violence. It's a new thing. It's really getting popular with those folks.
It was the biggest applause line of the night. Play it for the people. Ram Jam wants to punch you, Robin Voss. Cut 10.
Right, thank you.
Mr. Rantham, you have been in a feud with Speaker Robin Voss, saying you wanted to punch him, quote, right in the nose. How will you lead your own party and work across the aisle to bring innovative ideas? How will you?
I don't need to actually hear his answer, Evan. You can pull that down. You get the sense. The crowd, they want trial by combat.
It's almost like they love to storm, I don't know, a government building and just ransack the place if Rantham told them to do so and try to get away with it. That sounds like that's kind of their thing.
You want to hear the highlight of Tim Michaels' evening? He kind of rhymed like Tony Evers this week from COVID to Kenosha. Drop the mic, I'm done. Yeah. Tim Michaels 2022. Here he is. Play his one highlight. Cut 3 to Michaels.
I'm sure there's a lot of fraud and abuse and inefficiencies in government. I'm going to find them. I know how to do that. So we're going to take a look at all government agencies. I will provide leadership to the Speaker and to the Senate Majority Leader. That's one of the problems that we have right now, and we will get things done. Our biggest problem in Madison is we have Tony Evers as governor right now, and he's been weak from COVID to Kenosha.
Oh, he was so proud of that line. Like that, you could tell, like, he had practiced that one. That was his entire debate prep, that line.
That was not a great highlight reel, man. I'm telling you.
Well, let's sneak into Rebecca Clayfish. She did come most prepared for this debate. Couple of quick cuts from, quote unquote, the smartest girl in class. Understand, it's sort of a remedial class. Cut number 1.
About Ms. Clayfish, about eventually eliminating the state income tax. That's a big number. How would you fill that in to get there?
Right now, you're talking about a $5.4 billion surplus, which is extraordinary. And we have the wherewithal right now to move toward a 3.54% flat tax. That would be our first goal in order to ensure that people are keeping more of their own money to fight this Bidenflation from within their own household budgets. My goal is to eventually eliminate the income tax. That will require some sacrifices in government, but I've already committed to moving state agencies out of Madison and cutting state agencies.
You heard how she talked past the end, almost like she had a prepared answer, like she thought about it. Completely different than Tim Michaels and a Ram Jam. You know, he knew he had God on his side, but the mob is with Rantham. Come back. Tom Nelson, former U.S. Senate candidate. He's a friend of ours. He'll come around next.
You know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Big Monday edition. Evan, do we have the guest? We have the guest. Great. Former U.S. Senate candidate Tom Nelson. I think he's still the Outagamie County executive, and I hope he's still a friend of ours. Tom Nelson, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tom.
Yes. Although I might say this, I'm a little bit disappointed because I thought that you would honor my exit from the U.S. Senate race with some AC/DC bumper music, but it wasn't to be.
Maybe on the way out, Tom.
Asked,
huh? That's right, man. Evan will hook you up.
I'm just kidding.
Now, Tom, I've still got the ceremonial spotted cow here in the cabinet. You do? Gave me the beer, Tom. Yeah, maybe we can auction it off, retire some of the campaign debt or something. Or, you know, if you just need a cold one, Tom, I'll throw her in the fridge. But I have separated that from the drinkable beer here at the studio. Yes, Tom, I have your prop beer, man. It was a damn good speech at the DPW.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. Meant every word of it, too. You know, I think in a lot of ways that just kind of summed up the campaign, what we've been trying to do for the last year and a half, 2 years. And, you know, we got in early because I don't have millions of dollars, and I think the most valuable resource in a campaign is actually not money, but it's time, because you never get it back. And so we got in early for a couple of reasons. One, we wanted to leverage the time as much as we had to build the best grassroots organization as possible, which I believe we did. Oh, and push comes to shove, in some instances, a lot of instances, it really does come down to money. I mean, I've run successfully in campaigns, underdog campaigns, getting outspent 3-1, even 4-1. But if you looked at what was being spent on TV, look, I mean, I was getting beat 30-1. I would spend 30-1. So at some point, it just gets to be a little out of control. But probably the campaign we ran, I think we brought some very good issues out there, issues that I don't think would have been talked about had we not been there. Issues like my food sovereignty plan, national industrial strategy, pushing hard on Medicare for All, Green New Deal, PRO Act, and so forth.
So, Tom, we're so close to the primary. Why not just leave yourself in the race, you know, scale it back, do what you got to do. But why not just throw the dice and see where you end up, sir?
Well, a couple of things. Yeah, I could have done that. But when I said I ran out of money, like, we don't have any money. And we were either going to run around for 2 weeks, hopefully getting some earned media, or we would look at where we're at the polls, around 7 or 8%, look at the fact that this was a tight race, is a tight race, where in the last Marquette poll, Mandel was only up by 4 or 5 points, thinking my 7 or 8 points, well, that can bring him outside of the margin of error. And, you know, Mandela, you know, he wasn't my first choice, of course. That's why I ran. But I think that he's a strong candidate, and I think he's in a good position to win the nomination. I'd like to think that our endorsement is going to contribute something to his race and maybe get him the biggest number possible so that when he gets out of the primary and he's nominated, we get the strongest number possible, the biggest number possible for votes, and that he's that much stronger going into the general. I got a lot of questions like this on social media about, you know, why didn't you go out for another couple more weeks? And I said, yeah, we could have done that, though. I don't think we had a path. And at the end of the day, campaigns are not about the candidate. They're about the people. and how to make their lives a little better, a little easier. And so I think this was the smart move. This was the smart play because Mandela's progressive. We put some extra points behind him, and it should get enough to get him out of the primary on track to beat Johnson in November.
Tom, does it feel like it feels to me like Mandela is catching all the momentum currently? Whether it's your exit from the race, whether it's Elizabeth Warren coming to Madison in Milwaukee and campaigning for the guy, whether it's the Bernie Sanders endorsement. I know you were a Bernie delegate and would have been nice, Tom, that would have been a big feather in your hat and maybe would have given new life to your campaign. But Mandela's claiming the mantle as a progressive. Do you think he is a progressive? And obviously you've endorsed the man, but are you... I know it's still new, Tom, but are you okay with Bernie Sanders endorsing a guy like Mandela Barnes, same as you now have?
Well, look, it's like what Harry Truman said. If you want a friend in politics, get a dog. I actually have two dogs. And I think it's important not to take these things personal. He had his reasons. Liz Warren had her reasons. Susan Action had their reason, on and on. And I think for people who are serious about races like this, you're going to pick and choose sides. But you're right. I mean, I was a Bernie Sanders delegate. He went with Mandela. And the writing on the wall became more and more glaringly obvious. And at the end of the day, this is about beating Ron Johnson, getting a new voice back in Washington. I think Mandela's best position to win the primary and go on and win in the general. And this is a very, very, very important race. We've got to get this right. We've got to get the strongest candidate. And then we all have to. We all have to get behind the nominee and work twice as hard as we did when we were campaigning ourselves.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Outagamie County executive and former U.S. senatorial candidate Tom Nelson joining us. Tom, I just got to say, very gracious exit. I appreciate the strategy and appreciate you putting the people, as you mentioned, ahead of the candidacy and getting behind, as the leader right now and a man who represents many of the things that you do as well, Mandela Barnes. You know, that percentages that you bring over could certainly push him over the edge with the margin of error in the polling and certainly at the polls. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that you saying that and doing it at this time. Now, my understanding is you are still printed on the ballots, Tom. Is that correct?
Yes.
And will you go out for and stump for Mr. Barnes?
I told Mandela, I told his campaign, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. You know, this is not the functory endorsement where you can use my name, whatever. In fact, I've just been going back and forth with his campaign team about how I can cut a new ad for you guys where I'm talking about Mandela, and it's because there's probably some legal disclaimer stuff. So that's one example, and there's going to be many more. I know that, and I've said this again and again for the last 2 years, which is the Fox Valley is key for winning statewide elections. General election, and that's still the case. So he's going to need a strong ally here. I have offered my support, whatever you need. You need a stumper. You need someone to dial for dollars. You need someone to write a really cool TV ad like we did again and again for the last 18 months. I can do it. Sign me up.
Tom, and you guess leading into my next question / observation, you know, the Fox Valley, and of course, you know, I grew up there, and I think it is very representative of the entire state. You know, Milwaukee and Madison are certainly more Democratic and outstate more Republican. But, you know, as the market in Fox Valley is so super purple, and you've been successful there as an Outagamie County executive, as a legislature as well, how important is it? Well, you mentioned it's important. How do you engage it? How do you think that particular area can be pulled towards Mandela Barnes in this race?
Well, I think he's got he's put the right foot forward. My experience knocking on the doors of knocking 70,000 in Brown County and a little bit of Shawano County, people want to focus on bread and butter issues. And that was the signature issue for the old school progressive Wisconsin Democrats, where you spoke to economic issues, whether it was farm policy, making sure that we have good legislation, good laws, like price parity for milking so that we can have strong family farms, having strong labor unions so that we've got good manufacturing jobs, making sure that we've got good family-supporting jobs, focusing on those kind of issues. That is how you get beyond all of this divisive junk that the Republicans throw at you. And I think Mandela is continuing to do a good job in this because the closing ad that he just released for his primary speaks to manufacturing, speaks to making the USA, and how we need to take important steps in Washington to strengthen Wisconsin manufacturing. And his background, growing up in a union household, his dad worked for UAW. I mean, that's a manufacturing union, of course. He's got that part of his DNA, and so he's got the right he's got the right issues. He's speaking the right message, and he's got the good and he's got a great background and testimonial to talk about this.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Big Monday edition. We got a big guest. He is Tom Nelson. He has stepped down from the U.S. Senate race. He is still the Outagamie County Executive. Still a friend of ours. We appreciate you coming around, Tom. Strange dynamic in this race. And what I mean by that is almost too many candidates. And, I mean, I like the fact that there are so many strong Democrats in the state of Wisconsin. But I feel like every single one of them got into the same column, Tom. They all ran for the U.S. Senate. And it makes it really hard for a guy like you, no doubt, to earn the media when there's 11 other candidates or whatever the latest math is. But here's my question, Tom. You alluded to the fact it's hard to compete with the money. Do you take any solace in the fact it seems like no matter how much money one of these candidates, or perhaps two of these candidates, use of their own wealth to fund their campaigns, they still apparently, at least to my trajectory, they're going to fall short of Mandela Barnes. I mean, I'd like to think money doesn't buy a Senate seat, but does money buy a Senate seat? Seems like it bought one for Ron Johnson.
Yeah, it worked for Ron Johnson. It worked for a couple of candidates, but you're very right. And I mention this a lot on the, talking to supporters on the phone, going on the stump, and people saying the same thing. You're going up against a millionaire and a billionaire. How are you going to do that? And my answer was the political graveyard is filled with people who thought that they could buy elections. And I believe that's going to happen in this case because it's one big reason why I got behind Mandela. I think he's in a great position to win. I think he's in a better position to win today than he was yesterday. And he's got a great story, and he's the one person left now that's not trying to buy this election. And I think that's something that we have to support. But when you're trying to break through this clutter, and two components of this clutter are worth millions and millions of dollars, that makes it very difficult for just a little county executive from the Fox Valley, a pastor's kid, to cut through some of this. So it was very difficult, but it was certainly worth the fight. Like I said, I think we brought some very good issues to the front that the group is talking about. David Dan, who is the editor for the American Prospect, he sent out a tweet today, saying you dropped out. But I made a note because his signature issue is antitrust issues. And I started talking about that a year and a half ago. No one else was talking about it. The last gathering we had at a picnic, all four of the candidates talked about anti-monopoly behavior, antitrust. I mean, you think that this is kind of these technical, non-sexy things, but antitrust is a very, very, very big component of income inequality. And it's the bookend to taxing the rich because it's how you allow corporate power to consolidate and to get so powerful. So that's another, example of an issue that I think is important that we help to throw some light on. And hopefully, when Mandela gets nomination, he gets to Washington, that he'll continue to speak out strongly on that issue.
You know, Tom, my greatest fear when Mandela Barnes announced for the U.S. Senate was, he was a very dynamic partner to Tony Evers on the ballot last time. And it wasn't exactly like it was a blowout. 31,000 votes approximately that Evers and Mandela Barnes beat Clayfish and Walker by. And I was worried. I think to myself, Mandela could theoretically lift the ticket. He puts a younger face, a more diverse face on the ticket. Tom, I'm still hopeful for those things. But, I mean, the Democratic Party might have caught a break if Mandela is indeed the nominee, Tom. It might have been a tougher ticket if it was a couple of, white guys.
Well, part of my candidacy that I've been pitching for the last 20 months was how the Fox Valley is a very important part of the state as far as how to win a statewide election. And I also maintain that in a purple state like Wisconsin, there's no such thing as a base election, that you have to flip these red parts. And that's another reason why I'm going to work hard for Mandela, because he's going to have to do well up here. And
well, Obama did it, Tom. Obama did it. Can I sorry, we're short on time here, but is race an issue trying to get elected outstate?
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is, because you just gave a really good example. What people look for is they look for people that, for candidates that listen, that understand the issues, that can relate to their experience and focus on bread and butter issues that are going to make a difference in people's lives, to not get distracted by all this stuff, all this divisive stuff Republicans throw at you, but to focus on economics.
Tom Nelson, thank you so very much. Former senatorial candidate, now endorsing Mandela Barnes, our friend. We are the Devil's Advocate. Come back. We'll be right back.
You will have saved the lives of millions of registered voters.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. You can join us at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, Tom Nelson, a gracious man who decided to come and do sort of an exit interview with us. He stepped back from the U.S. senatorial race today, and he threw his endorsement behind Mandela Barnes, who's also, I mean, I've teased, we've been having Mandela on for like 11 years. We knew Mandela before he could grow facial hair. But anyways, we've got a lot of friends in this race, and I'm not implying any of them wouldn't be a better U.S. senator than Ron Johnson. But it has become my perception that Mandela's the candidacy on the roll. And I think Mandela is going to be your nominee, and I hope he is. I mean, I think he's a hell of a candidate. But he's not the only satisfactory candidate. He's just the one I think that's, you know, on the march.
Well, and again, given the progressive nature of Tom Nelson and certainly Mandela getting the endorsements of lots of nationally known progressives, you know, to step up and strategically and practically, you know, offer his endorsement and perhaps bring some of his supporters along, that 7 or 8%, you know, up to 10 in the Republican side of it, you know, that could be a significant amount of people. And to have a guy like Tom stumping around the Fox Valley and Winnebago County, Allegheny County and all that, I think it'll be very important for Mandela's team and Mandela's message.
My concern is, Ben, that the Republicans are licking their chops. They can't wait for Mandela. And I think that a black nominee is going to play to their base. They're just a dog whistle away from full-blown Klan members in a lot of cases. And I worry, will a black candidate be a limitation? But I look at the example of Barack Obama.
Yeah, right.
And it certainly didn't limit him. I mean, that was what? He won like 58 of 72 counties. It'd be great if Mandela Barnes could be half as effective as Barack Obama was at convincing swing state voters to take a chance on him. But I think Mandela absolutely needs to get voters in, let's say, Milwaukee involved. I mean, midterm elections haven't always gone well for Democrats.
Right.
In a big way is because the lower propensity voters, I mean, there is no homogenous group in any dynamic, but lower propensity voters tend not to come out in the midterms. And there's certainly an engagement level, you know, the ram jam fringe. You think it's the fringe of the Republican Party, but no, it's really the base.
It used to be, but now it's taken over.
Yes, the cancer is now the party. So they're like the blob. Remember the blob from like 1970s? That didn't seem too scary, but, you know, like gobbled up everything. Well, it's like the blob. That's what's left of the Republican Party. And I mean, you know, strategically, some things you shouldn't say out loud, but, you know, I often do on the radio. But I think in these terms, I think in terms of what is the most, you know, what will turn out voters, young voters, maybe black voters, outstate voters. And I would say that Mandela Barnes has just got this coolness about him. He's just a chill cat. And I don't know what it is about him, but most U.S. senators, those that I've met, it's not been more than 15, but some that even ran for the U.S. presidency don't have that sort of air of calm, that aura about them. And I think Mandela's got some sort of just, he's just a cool guy. And I think that matters for something. I think that when you interpersonally interact with Mandela Barnes, he's just a cool guy. Now, no one's ever going to accuse Ron Johnson of being a cool guy. And he certainly offers a contrast because, you know, Mandela's background's a lot closer to mine than Ron Johnson's.
And everybody else's in this state.
Well, but I mean,
most people aren't millionaires, man.
Well, no offense to Alex Lazary. We had him on the show the other day. He's got a beautiful little baby. And, you know, he is a dynamic human being. And I like him interpersonally. But what sort of contrast do you draw between Ron Johnson and Alex Lazary? Well, he's not Ron Johnson. That's it.
But well, no, I mean, come on. Of course, there's policy differences, man. I mean, one's a Republican, one's a MAGA. One's a Democrat. So the most, obviously, the glaring commonality is the money, right? They're both wealthy individuals. So, I mean, that's easy. And Godlewski's no slouch herself, right? So that, but obviously the policy issues, man, the party issues, those things are infinitely different. Now, you know, so I don't know. Does that actually help in some Republican circles? You know, does a money Democrat help someone in Republican circles? Because hell, well, he's a you know, he knows what he's doing. He's a businessman. He's been successful with the Bucks.
He's one of ours. He's wealthy. I mean, I can understand a lane for, let's say, a Sarah Godlewski. Sarah Godlewski, I mean, in this Roe v. Wade, post-Roe v. Wade world, I am shocked that there are not more female candidates that have been catapulted to prominence.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know what? If I was a female right now, I'd be looking for a female to vote for. I'd want mine at the table making those sort of decisions. And I don't mean Amy Coney Barrett.
844-967-2789. Let's get to him. Josh from Madison, you're first. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Josh.
Well, hey, guys. Hey, how you doing? I was just hoping to get a gas price check from CJ. He's been kind of quiet about that lately.
Yeah, it's like $3.54 a gallon for unleaded on University Avenue at the Quick Trip.
What have you been seeing, Josh?
I'm just saying I haven't heard in a while, and I was like,
yeah, okay, all right.
Mostly for the gas price check. But anyways, I was listening to the debate last night as well, and I've been surprised I could hear it over me yelling at my screen, because every other thing I heard was the stupidest thing that I've ever heard come out of anyone's mouth. And there were three people on stage, so there's that. But what I was really calling about was I wanted to have either one of you guys, I guess, explain what's so terrible about a $5 billion surplus in Wisconsin.
What's terrible about it? I mean, it's not terrible. I think revenues are good. I mean, ultimately, though, if you're collecting money that you don't need, then shouldn't you not have it in the first place? So I guess from a practical perspective, that's my concern. I know if I got a lot of cash in my pocket, Josh, I have a tendency to spend it. But if I don't, you know, it's a little harder to go to the ATM or pull out the credit card maybe. So there is that. But, you know, didn't the governor, along with the Republicans and the Democrats, technically, they passed a tax cut last time. And we do have lots of deferred maintenance. So I think there's going to be find some good uses for that money, Josh. But it's certainly a whole lot better than it was when we had a, you know, $3.6 billion budget deficit under Scott Walker. Dick from Madison, we'll give you a minute. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Well, Michael's kind of reminded me of Rick Perry back when he ran for president.
Oops.
During headlines. You know? That's the big thing I've seen. But it's pretty bad, too, when I have to say that Crawdad was the outright winner last night. Or, I mean, Clayfish or whatever her name is. And it did have kind of a WWF flair to it, didn't it? They're, like, cheering on the stuff. And it's just, but the Mandela Barnes thing. You know, I never thought Tammy Baldwin, north of about 40 miles from Madison either, and I've said this before, whoever this candidate is, better huddle up with her.
Thanks for the call, Dick. Gotta go. Second hour, Devil's Advocates Happy Hour coming next. Stick around. We'll get to your calls as well.